The Force Field is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Listen to other great tech podcasts at www.techpodcasts.com.
From Charlotte, North Carolina, for IT service providers, it's The Force Field with Rick Savoia. And now, here is your host, Rick Savoia.
Greetings, providers. Welcome to the unofficial podcast for IT service providers, The Force Field. I am your host, Rick Savoia, and during the next half hour, we'll cover the news, views, reviews, and interviews for and about the IT industry and the Force Field community. Our call-in segment is open to all listeners Saturday nights from 10:30 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern. Call 407-278-5698. That's 407-278-5698. Or you can call in via Skype at Savoia Computer if you would like to be part of the show. There was a time when the term IT guy or computer guy referred to someone who was considered knowledgeable of all things tech and a general expert in their field. Times have changed. Technology has advanced so quickly, and we've learned so much so fast that even the most experienced tech can have trouble keeping up with it all. The days of the MacGyver tech are fading fast. To keep up with the industry in the 21st century, one must specialize, become an expert at, and offer service in one or two specific areas of IT. But what happens when that business is slow, or demand for that one particular skill set is not profitable enough at the moment to make ends meet? Every customer counts. And when someone walks in the door or calls for that one product, service, or solution that you don't have, it is very difficult to turn down an opportunity for a sale. Because chances are, like it or not, you could be sending that customer to your competitor, and chances are, you will not earn a dime from it. Or will you? This week, we'll talk with a provider whose company specializes in specific areas of IT, and find out how he can focus on his core services while providing for and profiting from most, if not all, of his customers' needs. But first, let's take a look at what's going on elsewhere in the IT industry. SCO announced a plan to use a $100 million cash investment to pull the company out of bankruptcy and go private. In a press release dated February 14th, SCO announced that Stephen Norris Capital Partners and its partners from the Middle East agreed to pay $100 million to finance a reorganization plan for SCO. SNCP will have a controlling interest in SCO and plans to take the company private. Not only will this deal position us to emerge from Chapter 11, but it also marks an exciting future for our business, said Jeff Hunsacker, President and Chief Operating Officer of SCO Operations. This significant financial backing is positive news for SCO's customers, partners, and resellers who continue to request upgrades and rely upon SCO's Unix services to drive their business forward, he said. According to SCO, the reorganization plan allows the company to pursue its lawsuits against IBM and Novell to their conclusion. For many in the Linux world who have been terrorized by the nightmare on SCO Street, this means SCO has risen from the dead for one more fright like the monster in a B-horror movie. For the open source community, it's the thing that would not die. There is one consolation. According to Computer World, the plan also contains another provision: the immediate resignation of SCO CEO Darryl McBride. The Force Field is conducting a trivia contest during the months of February and March. If you are a regular listener of the Force Field podcast, you now have the chance to take your knowledge of the show and win prizes. All you have to do is listen to the podcast, log into the Force Field website at theforcefield.net, Click on the Force Field Podcast Trivia Contest link on the right sidebar and answer the 10 trivia questions. If you answer all 10 questions correctly, you will be entered into a drawing to win a 1 GB USB flash drive or an NVIDIA Partner Force t-shirt. Now, listening to the Force Field can pay off in more ways than one. Enter the Force Field Podcast Trivia Contest today and win. Contest ends March 31st, 2008. When I hold a meeting with our team of administrators on the forcefield.net, we need the ability to share our thoughts, ideas, and plans for the Force Field web portal both audibly and visually in real time. To accomplish this, we use GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting is an absolute must for any business, group, or organization who needs to keep their members on the same page. With GoToMeeting.com, it's just like we're all in the same room. We can chat, conduct training sessions, and share content with ease. GoToMeeting offers unlimited meetings for one flat rate, which means you can meet as often as you want for as long as you need. Try it yourself, free, for 30 days. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/techpodcasts. That's GoToMeeting.com/techpodcasts. Try GoToMeeting free today. Tell them you heard it on the Force Field. Microsoft announced a bid to buy Yahoo earlier this month. Redmond offered to purchase the outstanding shares of Yahoo stock at $31 a share, bringing the purchase price to $44.6 billion. Yahoo initially rejected the offer, but according to an article in the New York Post, their board is now split on it, with some board members led by Yahoo chairman Roy Bostock and billionaire Ron Burkle in favor of the purchase, and Yahoo CEO Jerry Yang and other board members against it. Whether or not the purchase is ultimately approved, time will tell. If it is, however, it would put both companies in a better position to compete with Google. The real question is, do we really need or want to hear the name Microsoft Yahoo? And that's the news in the Force Field.
Are you looking for the latest gadgets? Do you want to know about the best in tech? Then you need to listen to the Totally Cool Tech Podcast. I'm your host, Norbert Davis, and I'll give you quick daily shows and 30 to 40 minute shows 2 to 3 times a month, all featuring the hottest in cool tech. So check out the Totally Cool Tech Podcast at totallycooltech.com or tctpodcast.com. I'll see you there.
Hi, my name's Paul, and I'm the host of the Caffeine Nation podcast, a podcast that doesn't just deal with caffeine and technology as topics. They're more of a lifestyle around here. If you're like me and you can't get out of bed in the morning without that little cup of coffee, if you're like me and you need to know all the best and the greatest in technology news from around the world and right next to you, then you need to tune in to the Caffeine Nation podcast, www.caffeination.com. Thanks, and stay caffeinated.
You're listening to The Force Field, and this is the part of the show I look forward to the most, as it is the opportunity to talk to my fellow professionals in the field. If you'd like to talk, you can call me at 407-CPU-JOY-8. That's 407-278-5698, or through Skype at Savoia Computer. If you don't have Skype, simply go to the Force Field Podcast Episodes page at theforcefield.net and click the Skype icon located on the right sidebar. The download is free, the call is free, and the show is free. And you can't beat free. So call in and dare to enter the Force Field. If you offer IT solutions, you know that it is difficult, if not impossible, to have all the answers for all the questions from every one of your customers. Yet, it is expected. It isn't easy learning everything about everything tech, and the level of knowledge in all areas is constantly rising. The question is, do you want to know a lot about a few things, or do you want to know a little about everything? Do you want to sell and support a few products and services to your customers, or offer an entire suite of solutions? One provider who does both is Todd Hughes. and he thinks you can too, by networking with your competitors. This week we're going to talk to Todd and learn how we can both specialize and diversify our portfolios of products and services to meet the needs of our customers and profit from it all. We'll learn how to collaborate with our competitors to be both a specialist and a general service provider and create our niche in the IT industry as the one-stop shop. And we're speaking to Todd. Todd, welcome to the Force Field.
Good morning, Rick. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here. Appreciate it. Todd, first of all, tell us a little bit about yourself and your business.
Well, my business, actually, I'm one of the rare providers that actually just does a little bit of side work. And for the most part, I do have a day job. I work for a company that sells open source products. And as far as my own business goes, I do a little bit of pushing open source product myself as far as firewalls and so on, and a bit of security consulting. And that's about it as far as what my business is.
So the question is, should I try to be MacGyver Tech or should I just try to specialize? And we touched on this in an earlier episode of the Force Field, as a matter of fact. I think it's a good topic to cover a little more ground in because there are a lot of people that will open up a computer shop or will go into a business and will say, you know, I wanted to cover as much ground as I can here because I really need to generate as much revenue as I can. And the first thought is when they are trying to sell to a customer and the customer says, well, do you do this? Sure, I do that. They want to secure that source of revenue. They want to be a one-stop shop. And, you know, a few years ago, that was possible. But nowadays, it's becoming extremely difficult to be a one-stop shop or be a catch-all for everything because even the term IT is just a very broad term. IT covers a lot of things. Being a computer tech is just one small aspect of it. Being a network administrator is one small aspect of it. Doing data recovery, doing forensic work, doing, all those things. They're just all aspects of IT. It covers so much. And one person can't go in and be everything. And trying to do it, I think you're just really going to be running your business into the ground a lot of the time because you're so busy trying to be everything that you're really not becoming an expert at any one particular thing.
Yeah, I think probably it's all going to depend on your market, where your business and customer base is at the time. And I think it's something that has to evolve along with your business and your customer base and what the requirements of your clients are. It's a toss-up. I mean, do you want to know a little bit about everything or do you want to know a lot about a few things? I've taken the tack myself of knowing, a lot about a few things and hoping that the opportunity comes along for me to apply that knowledge and be rewarded accordingly. But I think, like I said, it's going to evolve. I mean, if you're just starting out, you need to, get out there and generate some income, build a name for yourself, and do a little bit of everything. As you do that, as you develop a customer base, as you develop your skills, you'll find that you're better at some things than others. And I think the turning point comes when you really realize and can say to somebody, look, I'm not the man for this job. You need somebody else to look at this. But I can definitely do that for you because I'm an expert in that. And I found in some other lines of businesses that I worked in that I've literally told customers, look, I'm not the guy to do this job. There's another gentleman you need. Go see this guy. He will take care of you. He can do it quicker, faster, and cheaper than I can. It's not my expertise in this area. And I think a lot of people listening to this would be saying, oh, well, what are you nuts? Turn away business? Just do it. Well, I found that you will get more return business and more respect out of those clients doing that because then when they come up with another issue that they know you deal with, they're right back to you. And they appreciate and respect the fact that you saved them some time, some money, and were basically man and or woman enough to admit, hey, this is not my area. Here's somebody I recommend. And I found I've actually gained a lot of very loyal customers doing that.
Well, not just that, but you actually become their go-to guy because now that you've gained their trust, you become the person they go to when they have that question. And if you can take care of it, yes. If not, you can always recommend somebody else. But in any case, you do, in a sense, become their main stop, not necessarily their one-stop shop, but you will become their first stop to handling any of their issues or trying to provide any solutions to their problems. Because you can either do it for them or you can tell them where they can go to find that solution.
And hopefully where they go to find that solution can return the favor.
Yeah.
At
yeah.
some point, which that's another point is, you know, I see it quite a bit in the forums and from talking to other techs is that one thing I learned a long time ago is to never badmouth the other guy.
Yeah.
You know, whether you're in front of a customer, another tech, a client, whatever, is that your credibility and someone's respect for you goes down the tube. So when you really start badmouthing somebody else, do you have anything good to say? You know, don't say it. It's the golden rule.
Sure.
But I found that that's helped me quite a bit over the years business-wise, too.
Well, not only that, but I found, personally speaking, that if you're talking up to the other guy, he's going to be more inclined to talk you up. And then you've got referrals back and forth. It's more of a collaborative effort than a competitive one. And I've always believed, my philosophy has always been, which is the main reason I built the forcefield.net, was because my philosophy is collaboration instead of competition. If you're competing with everybody else, I mean, there's a certain level of competition everywhere. That's a given. But if you're in a cutthroat competition with everybody else, you're insulting them, they're insulting you. It makes the whole industry look bad, for one thing. And the end user winds up not knowing really who to trust or who to believe. And second, sure, you're giving them bad publicity, they're giving you bad publicity. It's not helping anybody's business. If you're assuming an attitude of collaboration instead, where you're saying, you know, let's see what we can do here. I consider this other guy. He can refer some things to me. It's actually growing both of your businesses in that respect. You earn the respect of the public more, and the public becomes more trusting of the service industry in general because they know that they're really out to serve the customer and not so much to serve themselves. Let's take, for instance, doctors. There was a time when the doctor, the general practitioner, was your family doctor, and he did pretty much everything. The days of Marcus Welby just are not there anymore. Now you go to see your general practitioner, and he refers you to this specialist or that specialist or another specialist. And, of course, those specialists, they refer back to those general practitioners as well. It's more of a collaborative field than a competitive one. And yet there's so many doctors out there. There's so many doctors out there, but they're all, you know, a lot of them are making money at it because they're really in a field where they are working for the general interest of the patient and not so much for themselves.
Yeah, I would say that as soon as the customer gets the impression that you are looking out for their best interest, you're serving the customer, not yourself, not your bottom line, that's where you develop that loyal customer for life, so to speak. And as far as the collaboration goes, I agree with you there. And that's something that it propagates by itself. I mean, in another business I was in, I spent years fixing boats. And I referred to this earlier, referring customers. But there were some things that I didn't do. So I would refer them over to, you know, Joe's Marine. Well, eventually, I would have people coming back to me saying, you know, hey, I had this over Joe's. He couldn't fix it. He recommended I bring it to you. So that word spreads, that goodwill, if you call it, that collaboration or so on. It's just once it gets started, it works. Mm-hmm. And people have to realize, at least in most markets, there's enough work to go around.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, the first thing you do by bad-mouthing somebody else is make yourself look bad.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I'm going to take this one step further here too, Todd. For those who really want to be the one-stop shop and they really don't have the resources to do it, which who does these days, really, using that concept of collaboration, they can help to make themselves that one-stop shop in the sense that they can do outsourcing. Outsourcing has been a big word now in a lot of areas, but what a lot of techs don't realize is that the little guy can do this as well and do it quite well, quite successfully. Let's say, for instance, that I do break-fix work and I want to offer web design. And I maybe offer a little web hosting on the side. Well, I do break-fix work, but I don't have my own server set up to do my own web hosting. And yes, I do dabble in some web design, but I'm not a big PHP programmer. I don't know ASP. So what can I do when I have a customer that comes to me and I want to keep my customer close to me and not send him out every which way and lose that possible revenue, and at the same time not risk botching the job up because maybe I am not that well versed at it. I don't know web design, or I don't know cabling or what have you. How can I do that? Well, the obvious and the simplest way to do it is by outsourcing your task, your job, to another company that is well versed at it. Say, okay, I do my web hosting. I don't have my own server, but I will find a company that does web hosting and I will set up a website and outsource that to them, but I will still make revenue from that. I do not do web design, so to speak, but I can outsource it to another company that does do it and keep some of the revenue from that.
My thoughts on that, I'm in complete agreement with you, but my question is, do you do that transparently? Or do you do that up front with the customer? The shop that wants to be, you know, a one-stop shop, okay, the website design is a perfect example. I've got a guy down the street at a competing shop, but he's a web designer. I've got an agreement with him that anybody that comes in for, you know, web design, I sell the web design, customer buys it from me, he does it, I get my little chunk, didn't cost me anything, there's goodwill all the way around, and when he gets somebody that comes in that wants a network cabling job done, sure, we do that. We do network cabling. He gets a hold of you because you do the network cabling. And, you know, it's transparent to the customer. So you're at that point, for the guys that are afraid of doing, you know, referrals and losing customers that way, that's another option, to just do it transparent to the customer, do it all in the background.
Yeah. I mean, there are a couple of ways to do it. I think a lot of it depends on the relationship that you set up with the other businesses, and it also depends on the type of job it is. And, you know, to a certain extent, it depends on the customer a little bit. But I think for the most part, I mean, subcontracting goes on all the time. It's done in the home building business. It's done in the medical field. It's done most everywhere else. Why not here in the IT world? And it does go on the IT world. It's just that I think at this level where you deal with a lot of smaller companies and sole proprietors that are starting out or struggling to get a foothold in the business, and even those who are established, it's something that they don't really consider too much. It's not something they've done a lot with. They've contracted for other companies themselves, but to do the contracting themselves to other companies with their customers, I think for some of them, it makes them feel a little uneasy.
But in the long run, that's going to make or break your business.
Absolutely.
For those that can think outside the box, that don't have to micromanage and have, you know, ultimate control of everything, but can collaborate and work with others and do this kind of stuff, they're going to succeed. And, you know, the best way to make money is to basically be able to collect the check at the end of the day and not have to do anything yourself. I mean, that's everybody's dream.
Absolutely, sure.
And, you know, if you have sources of revenue or income that you can get from referrals or outsourcing or subcontract, be it whatever you want to call it, that's a fantastic way to go.
It is almost as if you have your own staff right there with you. If you treat it from that approach and you're delegating work to your staff, I mean, if you're going to have employees, obviously you're not going to do all the work yourself, or I should hope you're not going to be doing all the work yourself. Otherwise, that sort of defeats the purpose of having employees, and that certainly doesn't help your business. But if you can treat your outsources and your contractors as staff in the sense that I can delegate this job to so-and-so and this job to so-and-so, and they're going to get paid for it because I'm going to pay them for it, but I'm still going to get my cut. I'm still making a profit from it, and it's my customer. So I can do this. So there shouldn't be any reason to be apprehensive about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's, if you look at them as an extension of your own business, that makes a lot of sense. Some folks' personalities just won't allow them to do that. And those are the ones that aren't going to succeed, you know, as I stated before. But the ones that you can offer so many options to your customers that they're coming to you for, that you are gaining income and revenue from, but you're not actually getting your hands dirty and doing it yourself.
Yeah.
And that's the ideal way to make money. I mean, the business I'm in, even the company I work for, I mean, there's some things that we do it all, but we don't do it all. We have partners. We have techs that we work with that we contract to other companies. And, you know, it's a great way to go. As far as the customer is concerned, they came to you for a service. You provided it. Mm-hmm. You made money on it. You might not have made as much money as if you did it yourself, but if you don't have the knowledge or the the ability to do it, then you're shortchanging your customer in the first place.
Well, it's called diversifying. I mean, everybody wants to be able to offer all those products and diversify. Here's a great way to do it. It's a win-win situation for everybody. It's a win for you because you make something from it and you don't necessarily have to put out the investment of having to put it together yourself to actually do the work yourself. It's a win for the other guy because they're getting some work from you and they don't have to deal with the customer necessarily directly. They don't have to deal with a lot of the other things, the marketing issues and some of the other administrative issues with the customer that frees them up. Most of all, it's a win for the customer because the customer is getting served. And they're getting served in such a way that they know that you're going to take care of them, you're going to look after them and provide them with what they need. They don't have to worry about running around to three or four different places or three or four different people and trying to find out, okay, I need this here and I need that there and I need that over there. All they know is that they can just come to you and you'll take care of them.
Yep. You'll if you can't do it, you'll find somebody that can, and yeah, it's your one stop. There's your Swiss Army shop. Without the capital investment and time and training and everything else for the areas that you're not an expert in.
Yeah, and as long as the customer's happy, they're going to keep coming back to you and you're going to continue to get that business. You can't turn that down.
No, not at all. I mean, the bottom line is the happy customer is good for your bottom line. So
absolutely. Absolutely.
Agreed.
So in short, if you want to be the one-stop shop, you can specialize and still provide your customers with all those other products and services and make money at it by providing them with an outsource to do it with, or to outsource the work to others, to contract with others to do it, and in short, to collaborate with others to make sure it gets done and make sure your customer's taken care of and everybody makes money.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong at all. It's again, it's a win-win, just building relationships with your competition. Healthy competition is one thing. Obviously, cutthroat competition is going to put all parties involved out of business eventually, or at least, cause a loss of respect and credibility with the customers. But it's a win-win for everybody. You know, don't be afraid to work with your competition out there. I think there's enough work for everybody. And what you don't do, the other guy does, and what he might not do, he's going to refer back to you. So, I mean, there's no losers there.
Yeah. It helps the industry in general, and I think most of all, it helps the customer. Well, Todd, thanks a lot for your thoughts and views on the force field today.
It's been great talking to you this morning, Rick.
Well, it's great talking to you too, Todd.
Okay, thanks. You have a good day, Rick.
Yeah, you too.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Well, folks, our time is up. I would like to thank everyone for listening, my kids for allowing me to do this without interruptions, and my wife for just putting up with me. If you would like to comment on the program, you can email me at rick@theforcefield.net or visit our website at www.theforcefield.net. Opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests and do not represent The Force Field, Savoia Computer, or advertisers. All music on the show is original and was written and performed by Brother Rancid and the Brand New Pygmies. Our announcer is Felix DeCat. The show is produced and distributed by Savoia Computer. For the Force Field, I'm Rick Savoia. May the Force Field be with you.